Hey guys, welcome
Hello.
back to Rooted Reflections. I'm Anna.
I'm Hannah.
And today we're going to be going over some stuff together. We both had different ideas of what came to our minds about Thanksgiving and what kind of episode to do. And the first thing I thought of was David when he just lost his child. And we'll get more into it. And then Hannah, what was yours?
Mine was over the 10 lepers. Okay. And the only one of them turned around and thanked Jesus.
Okay. I think we should
so
just
different
go.
Spectrums for sure.
We should just go right into it, I think.
Let's dive right in.
Well, we should pray first.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Let's get right. We got to get right. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to get together, and thank you so much for both giving us wisdom on what to say and tell everyone. And I just pray that this would bless someone and give someone comfort and to feel your presence. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay. So, if you want to turn with me, we will be in Luke 17, verse 11. That's where we'll start. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So just a little bit of background context. In this passage, Luke is telling us that Jesus is traveling basically between Samaria and Galilee. So this would have definitely been a place where Jews normally weren't traveling. Samaritans would have been considered impure for like 700 years or something like that. So the Jews and Samaritans, for the most part, refused contact with each other. So there definitely would have been political tension, cultural hostility. And so as we saw here, what they had leprosy. So for those of you who do not know what leprosy is, I think when we think of it, we kind of think of like a skin rash or something. I don't know how you guys think of it, but
your skin just falls.
Yeah. So, but you know, leprosy back then definitely would have been very devastating. So they would have had like numbness in their hands, in their feet. They would have had like unnoticed like wounds and burns, and like they would have had like shortening fingers and toes. They could have had like a hoarse voice. Go blind, and anyway, but historians would have called this a living death. And I would say, like, obviously the physical pain was probably, I mean, I know for sure it was really bad, but I think that the social, like, isolation was probably really, probably the worst part. You know, lepers, they would have been exiled from their towns. They would have lost their families. They would have had to live in like leper colonies. They couldn't attend worship. They had to announce that they were unclean whenever people would approach, and you know, and they were spiritually cursed. That's what people thought. They thought they would have been, you know, spiritually cursed. So they definitely lost everything, I would say. So that's definitely the emotional world of this passage, I feel like. So anyway, so we see in verse 13, the lepers cry out, Jesus, Master, like, have mercy on us. And I found this interesting because when I feel like when I used to read it, I would think that, oh, they're asking to be healed or whatever. But like, he didn't ask that. They said, have mercy on us. And I just thought that was really interesting because I feel like mercy and healing are kind of different. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Mercy and healing?
Just like that the lepers asked for mercy. They didn't say, like, can you heal us?
Maybe that was them asking to heal him, because like that would be the like they obviously must have been watching at some point to and they seen what they did, so they were asking to have mercy on him, to like to share that healing, like because they had seen themselves as unclean, and nobody wanted to be around them, or like they were just dead to society,
right?
So they're like, have mercy on us, like I know we're in this place and we're dead and like whatever, but please have mercy on us. So I think that was them asking for healing.
Well, I think that word is so interesting too, because I feel like when you say have mercy, that's like a word that you, that's a strong word to use. I feel like it's like when you're really at the end of the rope and you just have like nothing else left, like emotionally, to cry out other than like just have mercy, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was really strong language. Like they didn't just say like, hey, can you heal us?
Yeah.
It's like,
please have mercy on us.
Maybe I'm reading too much into that emotionally, but I just thought that was interesting. So,
well, that is when we are getting, when we do get healed, that is his mercy, because he doesn't have to do anything.
Right. Yeah. So then in the next verse, in verse 14, so in verse 14, it says that Jesus said, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they would have needed to go to the priests, because the priests had to declare them clean to like basically go back into the community, like restore them, and you know, with the worship after being isolated for so long. But I do find it interesting that it doesn't say that he healed them and then they went. It says as they went, they were healed. So they walked as they were healed.
Because I think that's their belief. Like, they had a belief. Like, they didn't say, are you going to touch me? Or, like, what do you got to do it? They're just like, okay, we'll go then. Because, like, I'm sure as they turned around, maybe they weren't immediately, or, like, I don't know when it happened exactly, but it says as they went, they were healed. But that was the faith of them going, because they believed that they were going to be healed. By the time they get to the priest, you got to be clean to go to the priest, so they believed it.
Right.
So that's cool.
Yeah, and I think to put it in, like, life perspective for us, I do think that God does a lot of healing in our lives, even, like, in the midst of it being in the brokenness. And not just, like, the end result that we're wanting. But if you look in verse 15, which we already read, but it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So 10 men are healed, but only one of them returns. You know, he shouts praise, falls at Jesus' feet. He's giving thanks boldly. And the big thing here was that he was a Samaritan. So he would have been an outsider along with being a leper. So he definitely would have been one that necessarily didn't belong in the community. And Jews would have definitely looked at him as like being unworthy. So I think this is a person that would have definitely known like deep grief. So for him to return to Jesus and express gratitude is and kind of where my mind was at when we were thinking about a Thanksgiving podcast episode. So it's just funny that our minds went like two different directions on this, which is cool, because I think we are going to end up tying these two passages together. So I would say, like, the thing that I got out of this, just reading this, was just kind of what Pastor Jason said this morning, of just like being intentional about thanking the Lord for what he does. And I mean, we do a lot of gimme, gimme, gimme. And I know this is like, I don't mean this to sound like this was the deepest thing ever, because it's really just a basic concept, right? But I feel like we struggle with just basic concepts sometimes. Like, it's hard for us for some reason to be like, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And even thanking him for hard times.
I think it's deep.
I don't know.
Like, that's the one thing that we should be doing.
For sure.
Being grateful no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, and it's a form of worship, which is, I think, what segments us into your passage that you wanted to look at. So where are we at?
Well, before we go
okay
into that,
Yeah, did anything else stand out to you that?
Yeah, in 13 when it said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master. And like all the other times, it's teacher.
Mm.
But instead, they called him by name.
Yeah.
Said, Jesus, my master. Master.
Word. Yeah.
Have mercy on us.
So even just the title that they gave to him.
Yeah.
They didn't even necessarily say,
right.
We believe you're the, you know.
If somebody said, teacher, heal me, versus Hannah, master, you'd be like, oh, that's a different title.
Yeah.
That's a different type of
yeah
belief that you would have.
So even in the way they address him.
Yeah.
Shows faith.
They lifted up their voices, probably as loud as they can, and was like, Jesus,
right.
Master. Master's right. A lot different than, because there's only one master.
Yeah, and then at the end of that passage, it says, your faith has made you well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that was their faith. I mean, they only said
they didn't say that much.
They said
they didn't
even
say
thing,
that much,
so.
Right.
And he was like, wow, go show yourselves to the priest. And they went and they were cleansed. So their faith was saying, Jesus, Master, please have mercy on us.
Mm-hmm. And then only
maybe
one.
Maybe that's how we should address God.
Yeah. It's just wild to me, like only one returned. I just wonder what that conversation was like. Like 10 of them would have gone together. Like they would have been there together. And only one.
Well, they
one
probably
turned.
Wanted to go show their old families and
right.
That he wasn't the.
That's true.
And not that, not to say that they, you know, weren't thankful, but they wanted to do something.
Like something else took priority.
Like, oh, okay, he didn't tell me to come back, so I'm just going to go on with my life.
Right. So but, I think that is important to, like, just remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's easy to get caught up. Like, when we do get that thing that we want or that mm-hmm. we've prayed for or that we asked for,
mm-hmm.
it can be so easy to just get so excited that God did that. But to not give him, like, the recognition
mm-hmm.
first and foremost before we dwell in that excitement.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't think it's bad to dwell in that excitement,
yeah.
You know.
Of the thankfulness.
Right.
That he chose to show goodness to.
Right. Because that's the mercy. Like, Jesus chose who he healed.
And speaking of whom Jesus heals, we're going to go into the one that I thought of about Thanksgiving. And we're going to go into 2 Samuel 12, and we're going to start in verse 15.
Do you want to give a little, like, background of what's happened before
sure.
this?
Yes. Okay, so, if you don't know, David took Bathsheba as his wife, killed her husband because he got her pregnant, did all this. We'll get into it another time.
Okay.
But because it's a whole thing.
So at this point, David is caught up in his sin.
Yeah.
He's impregnated someone else's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, his now new wife. But anyway.
But yeah, and this is just after Nathan comes in and does the whole parable, whatever. Now he's feeling very convicted and very upset.
So Nathan pretty much comes to David and pretty much checks him. He's like, this parable is about you.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you know, that lamb that the neighbor took, the only little lamb that the other neighbor had, and he killed it. Yeah. That's
yeah.
you.
He's like, you need to confess.
You did that.
You need
you
to confess.
You took someone's precious little lamb, the only one that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So for if you want to read extra context, it'll be chapter 12 mm-hmm. up until where we are, which is verse 15. So 1 through 14 for that extra context. But all right.
But actually, I'm going to start in verse 13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David. And it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Okay, I'll stop there because that's like a lot.
Okay. So what do we have here?
So besides getting to the whole, like the thankfulness and coming to God, I think the upside for David, like a good attribute, was after Nathan, you know, called him out, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And it wasn't, I have sinned against Bathsheba, then the Lord, or, you know, against Israel, then the Lord. No, I first and foremost sinned against the Lord. The Lord, I did that to the Lord. Yeah, I did. He's still taking accountability about Bathsheba. I'm not saying that, but he's saying, I hurt you, Lord. Because whenever we sin, that hurts the Lord. Like, he doesn't want that for us. And I think that was him admitting, it's you alone, Lord, that I have went against.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm, like, you anointed me as king. You gave me all these things. And then I sinned against you. It wasn't just Bathsheba and the baby and Uriah. He did all those terrible things, but the number one sin to him was that he sinned against the Lord,
mm-hmm.
which I find fascinating that he called that out. Just a little side note.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I mean, when you jump into the text, like in verse, I think it's 14. So like David was told that the child was going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, the baby is going to die, but you're going to live.
Mm-hmm. Then why go in and fast?
Yeah.
It's like, I believe that God, like, I want him to hear me, and I know I can go to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. What verse is that?
I mean, well, think about Lot. When he's like, if I can find one, even though God was just going to kill them all. I think that's like he's pleading with God and asking and like praying to him, will you please spare him? Because he still believes that if God wanted to, he could be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Nathan just said that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting that he went in with faith.
Right.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the news was... he's not going to make it.
Right. So then after the baby dies,
mm-hmm.
the servants essentially are confused because David immediately like gets up and he goes to worship. Like he anoints himself. He washes himself, changes his clothes, and he goes to the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 20, I think that is. Did we get that far?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, there we go. Let's read verse 20.
So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then when he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is it that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you rose and ate food? And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So, I guess I was kind of right. Mm-hmm. Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I like that. I think that's the faith. But also, to get the news that, you know, you've just been fasting and praying and in dirty clothes for 7 days, and just to get up, clean yourself, and then go worship God. I feel like some people struggle with that after. Yeah.
It's not the forefront on people's mind.
Yeah, not to go, oh, yeah, my husband just died. Oh, my child just died. I'll go clean up and then I'll go to church or whatever their worship looks like, whether it's in your house or church.
Right.
And go worship. Mm-hmm. Immediately, David's brain was to go to worship. It wasn't anger towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Not once did it say that David was, his anger was kindled. No, he went to go worship. Why worship?
Mm-hmm.
When God didn't save the baby. Why worship him?
Yeah.
And I think it's because David knew that he was still gracious whether or not he does what he wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and you can see the theology behind David's response here.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying, well, I can't really control what God allows, but I can control how I respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that that's a super important part of this.
Yeah. And so one story is reflecting getting what they wanted, and another story is reflecting what they didn't want.
Yeah.
And yet they both turn back to God.
Yeah. Let's connect this to Thanksgiving. Like let's look at both of these stories, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Both require turning back. Like both of them turned back.
Mm-hmm. Whether good or bad.
Right. So someone got what they wanted, the leper.
Mm-hmm.
David did not get what he wanted.
Right. One worshipped at his feet, but David still worshipped too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Both involved a lot of loss. The lepers looked a little different. I mean, well, their whole social life pretty much. Yeah. Family they wouldn't have had.
And it was restored.
Right.
And with David, his was not restored.
Until Solomon.
Mm.
Which is the next part, if you want to continue reading sometime. In verse 24, it picks up with the birth of Solomon. But yeah, so even God redeems that, right? Like, God brings him Solomon. And he's a very important figure, for sure. I would also say both stories show gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, born in pain, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Thanksgiving is a time for a lot of people to be thankful. And for other people, Thanksgiving is like a grieving point because they don't have that certain family member. Mm-hmm. Or maybe an accident or a loss.
Yeah.
Around that time. But no matter what stage we are at in the thankfulness and then the loss, we should always turn back to him and put it at his feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And God meets us in brokenness.
And in Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and in Thanksgiving. And, you know, the leper's told, your faith has made you whole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's made you well.
Mm-hmm.
And with David is comforted and strengthened. And obviously, like I just said in verse 24, he's blessed with Solomon. And I'm pretty sure his name means peace. Solomon. So, maybe some of you that are listening, maybe Thanksgiving doesn't really feel easy. Maybe you're, I don't know, in a season of just disappointment or grief or
mm-hmm.
like unanswered prayers, or maybe you have just memories that hurt. I know these two passages are like completely different.
Are they?
Well, they're, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, like, these aren't typical Thanksgiving passages for sure.
I don't think so.
But I think that they're good passages that just show the importance of like getting up and worshiping no matter the result.
Returning back to him.
Yeah. And just thanking him. You know, I feel like the tendency is for people to think around Thanksgiving or Christmas, it's like pretending everything's fine. And I don't think it's that at all. I think it's just turning towards the one who is perfect. And that's the Lord.
Yeah. And no matter what is going on, to go to his feet.
Yeah.
And not to, you know, shy away from the Lord, but to go to him.
Yeah. And showing your faith before the result is there. Like David showed his faith in fasting. The lepers showed their faith by returning to the priests before they really had gotten what they wanted.
Right. They just like, were like, okay, we'll go. We'll be healed. I'm sure by the time we go to the priest, because we got to be able to show them that we're well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, Thanksgiving, what we learned from David is you rise up. And Thanksgiving with like the leopard. Is turning back. And I think ultimately both show that we should choose to worship still in places of pain. So.
Right. And it's not like David's story ends there. And he doesn't, you know, go back to the Lord or, you know, want a further relationship. I mean, he definitely does. There's a lot that happens after that. But the consistency is always returning. You know. No matter what's going on.
Yeah. And gratitude and grief can coexist. I think people think that they're separate. And they're not at all.
I agree.
So, it's important moving forward. And especially in this time of the holidays.
Okay. Well, guys, I hope you liked the episode. And we'll see you next time.
Happy Thanksgiving.